Echad always was supposed to be together to prepare for Shabbos Kodesh. Before we begin, just all the Torah tonight is being sponsored, all the chizik, all the Torahs. First of all, by Hilga Talmud Yudin Nafshi, Rav Aryan Rechi Mirzov, who's Rav Ari's great grandmother's yahrzeit is tonight. Michal Baschana of Shalom. Amir Tashem, all the Torah, all the Chizuk HaYisrael should be a big schus for her neshama. I don't know much about her, but I know that there's a building in Meir Sharm right next to Manny's. Probably a building we've all seen like hundreds of times, but never paid attention to. And there's a black plaque that it was a Beis Yisoyimim, was an orphanage. And the Beis Yisoyimim was Lila Nishmas, Ari's great-grandmother, Michal Baschano. So, that tells you enough. You know, those who, and that she has some chelek, the depth of it, of taking care of Yisoyimim, taking care of those who are most in need. So, Mir Tashem, all the Torah of the Chizik should be B'chus for Neshama. Mm-hmm. She should be Me'elitza Yoishra for a beautiful family. Mm-hmm. Until they're tansing together with her to be as Mashiach, be Karabi Amen. Also, tonight's being sponsored anonymously by a couple that I'm super close to. They're like family that are davening for Yeshuas, that they're davening for Yeshuas, and Bez Hashem, they should have those Yeshuas. All the Chavers should have that in mind. I know what it means. They know what it means. The Eibishter knows what it means. And Mir Tashem, the Chizik Azayrus should be a schus for them. And for another couple, that also Bez Hashem, I'm very, very close to, a very very special in my life, who are also sponsoring the Torah and the Chizik for Yeshuas and for Besuras Tovas and Achosin. Mir Tashem, it should be a big schus for them. They have a procedure going on tomorrow in the Mishpacha, and Mir Tashem, it should all go well, and should be only Yeshuas, Besuras Tovas, Simcha, and Bracha for all these beautiful families.
Amen.
So let's learn, Chaver. You know, the MS is, I always feel this year after year, Parshas Vayechi. Parshas Vayechi is a bittersweet parsha. It's the end of Sefer Bereishis. And Sefer Bereishis is a Sefer that we all connect to in a very, very deep way. You know, Sefer Bereishis are the stories of our life. The stories that we grew up on. The stories that allowed us to fall in love with Hashem. Fall in love with our ancestors. The building of us as a nation. It's a very, very special Sefer. All of Torah is special, obviously. All of Torah, every word of Torah, every letter of Torah. But it's a little bit easier to connect to Sefer Bereishis. And Vayechi is the end of Sefer Bereishis, and that's sad, it's hard. So you have to walk away with inspiration, and walk away connected to this Heilige Sefer. So Yaakov Avinu, Vayechi Yaakov, the life of Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is on his deathbed. Yaakov Avinu recognizes and knows that it's the end of his life. And Yaakov Avinu wants to leave his last will and testament to give brachos to all of his children, to his grandchildren. And he's bringing Menashe and Ephraim to bless them. Yosef's children. We recognize, each and every one of us recognizes, it's important to note even before we begin, that for some reason, and we'll understand deeper perhaps tonight, of all the brachos that we give our children, our grandchildren, he's there, no? Of all the brachos we give our children and our grandchildren, it's specifically these brachos. The brachos to Menashe and Ephraim. Yisimcha l'kim ki Menashe k'z Ephraim. Yivrach Hashem v'yirsh merach, the brachos of Berchus Konim, but we start Yisimcha l'kim ki Ephraim v'chmenashe. Specifically. You know, it's interesting. Yisimcha l'kim ki Ephraim v'chmenashe. Why specifically them, out of all the Shvatim, out of all the Tzadikim, specifically Yisimcha l'kim ki Ephraim v'chmenashe. But before that, I want to ask a different question. The Pasuk says, right at the beginning of the parasha, when Yosef HaTzadik brings Menashe and Ephraim Menashe to Yaakov Avinu, Vayar Yisrael Spenei Yosef, Vayomer Mi'ele. Yaakov saw the children of Yosef and say, who are these people? So Pasha Pshat is, he didn't know who they were, you'd think, but that's not what Rashi says. He knew, obviously, these were Yosef's children. Who else was he bringing to them? To Yaakov Avinu. And again, this is the end of 17 years. Seemingly, it's his grandchildren. He knew them by now. So what does Rashi say? Vayari Sos Bnei Yosef, if you look at Rashi, Bikesh Levarchim, Vinistalka Shechina Mimano. He wanted to bless them, but then the Shechina went away, like something happened. Lefisha Asid Yeravam V'Achav L'Tzeis Mephraim, because these evil kings, Yeravam and Achav, are going to come out of Mitzrayim, V'Yahu Banav Mimenashe. That we have all these evil kings. Again, I don't know how many of you are familiar with. Okay, it's something, halavaya. We should learn more Nach and understand, but take it for as it is. These evil kings, Rishon, are going to come out of Menashe and Ephraim, Ephraim and Menashe, and therefore he wasn't ready to bless them. So he's saying, Mi Elim, Hecha Yatu Eila Sheinam Ruyin Lebracha. Who are these that you're putting in front of me that are not? He felt the future generations that they don't deserve Bracha. And what does Yosef say back? Vayomer Yosef Alav, Yosef says to his father, Banayim, they're my children. That's not what Yaakov was asking. But then he says, Hashem nasan li elokim bezeh, Hashem gave me these children. Vayomer, kochem na alai v'avrachem. So then Yaakov says, okay, bring them to me and I'll bless them. So we have to understand this. First of all, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal this to Yaakov if he was going to go and bench them anyways? Meaning, yeah, in the end, Yaakov benches them. And that's the bracha until today we bless our children with. He gives this powerful bracha. This powerful bracha to his grandchildren, to HaMalach HaGol, Osi Mikol Ra, Yivrechas HaNarim, Yikrei Bem Shemi, V'Shem Av Zav, V'Shem Yaakov, V'Yigul Lehem, V'Kar Avara, that bracha that we sing all the time, that he gives to Ephraim Menashe. So he asked who they are, and Yosef, what is the answer? He doesn't give any answer that should be mechazek that question. I mean, the question, really, the depth of the question, the Firashi, was, who are these Rishayim, basically, in front of me? And he said, no, this is what Hashem gave me. These are my children. Shkoyach. I mean, Yaakov knew that. That's not what he was asking. But so what is the answer? And why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal this to Yaakov if he's going to bench them anyways? So I saw an incredible Torah from Rav Shur. In Halakach Valibov, you know, there's so many Halakach Valibovs, I don't know if anyone ever knows. Years ago, Rav Shur put out Halakach Valibov on Bereshis. I don't know if anyone here has that one. I don't think, you know, that's a Rav Shur's forum. They go in and out of print, and I don't know if he reprinted it ever. This was already 10 years ago that he came out with this, and it was in, 10 years ago. Tavshinayin Aleph, I think, Tavshinayin Beis. They reprinted it, or is it still out? They reprinted it. Just now. Oh, recently. Mamish. Came out of Pump for Shamos. Or they came out of it early. Alatoro? This one, they don't have Alatoro, this one. Then that's a different year, meaning that's not going to be all these pieces. This is a full big volume just on Bereshis.
Small pieces, whole thing.
What?
Smaller pieces, whole thing, whole Torah.
What do you mean?
Is this
something else, and that's not this. I'm saying this. You have to know what you're buying. It's always, I'm sure you never know. But anyways, so let's learn. So Shur explains that Yosef HaTzadik has given the koyach to each and every one of us to excel in galus. Yosef HaTzadik is the one that is thrown into a bar, is sold to Yishmaelim time and time again, is an Eved, is in Bebeis Asurim, is growing up in Mitzrayim, gets married in Mitzrayim, is all alone in Galus. But he excels. And he stays strong. Yosef HaTzadik is who we have to embody. Yosef HaTzadik is the paradigm and the foundation of success in Galus. Yosef HaTzadik is the one who has the challenges of the world, but defeats them. We live in a dar, our generation more than ever in history, with taiva, with temptation that's on our fingertips. Who is the one that had temptation in a certain sense by his fingertips? If you know the Chazal, when I say the fingertips, mamish, and was able to run away from it, was able to be matzliach. So it wasn't necessarily on a phone, it wasn't necessarily a computer, but it was in his face in the same way. It was as accessible as could be. It was also alone with nobody else there. It was mamish, our nisayon. The nisayon of our dar was the nisayon of Yosef Tzadik. And after going through years of pain and years of suffering, years of galus, and he's successful. You know what happened when Yosef Tzadik was successful? He built within the chemical makeup of Klal Yisrael the ability to be successful and to be matzliach in galus. That's why in Amos, in Parakeh, Pasuk Dezvav, we are called She'eris Yosef. Specifically, look it up. Amos, Parakeh, Pasuk Dezvav. We're She'eris Yosef. We're the remnants of Yosef Tzadik. It doesn't say we're the She'eris of the other Shvat. She'eris Yosef. We're the remnants, the Shirayim, of Yosef Tzadik. We have a koyach of Yosef Tzadik in our life. And we, each and every one of us, needs to stand up and say, Ani Yosef. You know that moment from last week's parasha? Ani Yosef. Ani Yosef. We have to say, Ani Yosef. Yosef Tzadik, who sends the wagons, the agolos, to Yaakovinu to say, I'm still learning Torah. I'm still strong. Through all the nisyonos, through all the pain, through all the suffering. Ani Yosef. I never was disconnected from you, my father, my Rebbe. I was never, why? Because I was never disconnected from Torah. And guess what? We as well. We're here in the five towns, in Tashim Pebes. And we have all the taivas in the world. We have Eishes Potiphar in our pockets. We have Eishes Potiphar in our pockets. And we have pain and we have suffering. And if we forget that we have pain and suffering, because we have it so good sometimes, we have last Matzei Shabbos. We have again, all the pain and suffering in the world. And if you haven't, Mamish, thought about every moment this whole week of Liel Namdar and her Mishpacha, then I don't know what you're doing in this planet. And the families. And Miriam Bapes Yochever, we've been davening for her all week. And the other girls, right here, minutes away. Every single day, twice, at least twice a day, I've driven on the same road. I was in the makom of that mizbeach. Every single day this week. Every single day this week, I'm reminded, galus, pain, suffering. We're in galus. We're in a physical galus, we're in a spiritual galus. We're in galus. Reminded time and time again. But our avodah is to stand up and say, Ani Yosef. To somehow have emunah and somehow be tachin that Hashem orchestrates the world, Hashem runs the world, the emunah of Liel's father, Ephraim Namdar, Efi Namdar, Ephraim, we'll get to that, who was able to stand up at the Levaya. If you didn't watch his hesped, you should make sure, we'll do it tonight, those who didn't. And after the hesped speaking about the malach of a daughter that he had, and she was, I know from my daughters who knew her, literally an angel. Somehow it's only that way. Somehow the Kadosh Baruch always takes the best. Somehow that's how it is. The karbanos of this world, because the rest of us are not pure enough to be a karban. And if the Eibishter needs karbanos, the Eibishter, for whatever reason which we don't understand, he takes the ones that are pure. We saw that already 6-7 months ago by Lag BaOmer. Every single tzaddik, mamish, she couldn't be more pure. We thought there were lamed of tzaddikim, there were 45 tzaddikim, and now there's a tzaddikas together with them, Liel. And what did that father stand up and say? That father stands up and says, at the end of his hasbid, he says, thank you Hashem for giving me the schus to be the father of Liel for 15 years. And he repeats, thank you Hashem. Can you imagine that moment in time? Can you imagine how he shook the heavens? Do you imagine how the Eibishter was shaking? The Eibishter was shaking. The Malachim were shaking. Malachim Yechivazun. You know what? You know how the Malachim were shaking? You know how the Eibishter was shaking when he said that? I don't know how Mashiach didn't come that moment. that a father didn't scream at the Ribbono Shel Olam, wasn't angry at the Ribbono Shel Olam, didn't curse out the Ribbono Shel Olam, the same Ribbono Shel Olam that took his 15-year-old daughter the night before in a horrific, tragic accident. A girl who an hour before or less, maybe minutes before, was dancing outside in the rain to bring simcha to her friends. It started raining, they were at the reunion for the camp, and she was the one dancing in the rain outside. She was the one. I saw videos, pictures with the biggest smile in the world. So instead of screaming at the Ribbono Shel Olam and angry at the Ribbono Shel Olam, to say at that moment at the kfura, at the hesped, thank you Hashem, you know what type of amuna that is? Shake the world. Shake the world. But we're living still. But that reminds us again, this is Golus. We're mamish in Golus. And we're in Golus Begashmi or Golus Beruchni, and we have Nisyonos day in day. Every one of us has Nisyonos. But Ani Yosef, Ani Yosef that had to have that amuna of Efi Namdar, that amuna through the hell on earth that he was put through for over 20 years. What did Yosef Tzadik think when he was in that bar? What did Yosef Tzadik think when he was in jail in Mitzrayim? What did Yosef Tzadik think when his brothers wanted to kill him? He said, Ani Yosef. I have amuna. I have bitachon. I know that the Eibishter runs the world. That was the sign also of that Golos, right? He sends the wagons back to Yaakov as the Egla Rufa to say, I'm still learning Torah, I remember the Torah. But what's an Agola? An Agola is a wagon. An Agola b'li manig. He was saying, even though I've gone through pain and suffering, I know that there's a driver. There's an Eibishter. And that's what Efi Namdar understands. There's an Eibishter. So thank you Hashem. He said it crying. He's in pain and he's suffering. But the Eibishter runs the world and he's orchestrating the world. Ani Yosef understood that. But Ani Yosef more than understood that. Ani Yosef also was able to be matzliach and to be mechazik himself in Torah and in mitzvahs and not fall prey to the Eitz Hara. And that's when we could be matzliach in Golos. Each and every one of us. And each and every one of us say, Ani Yosef. When does Golos begin? When does the real Golos begin? It wasn't in Mitzrayim. We were in the wrong place. We weren't in Eretz Yisrael. But what is the beginning of Shemos? When does the actual suffering begin? Vayakom melech chadash asher lo yoda as Yosef. When Yosef is gone. When we don't know Yosef anymore. When we forget that we have Yosef Tzadik. That's when Golos. What the last pasuk of Vayechi, the last pasuk before we enter into the sefer of Golos, what's the very last pasuk, the final pasuk of the sefer, of Sefer Bereishis, Vayomas Yosef. Ve'chatnu oso. Yosef died and they embalmed him, Vayisem ba'aro, and they put him in an aron b'mitzrayim. And then, Vayakom el chadash asher lo yada Yosef. When there's no more Yosef, when the Yosef in us is dead, that's when suffering begins. When we lose our Yosef. And the pasuk says, "Vatimale ha'aretz osam, vayirbu v'yatzmu ba'om ba'od, vatimale ha'aretz osam." You know what the Medrash says? We were in the cultural centers of the Egyptians. We were in their theaters. We started becoming like, we were walking like the Egyptians. We forgot Ani Yosef. We forgot I could be strong in Golos. We have to know we have Yosef inside us. We have to know that Yosef vayechantnu oso v'yisem oso ba'aron. Yosef might have died, but he's just hidden in that aron. He's still alive. He's within us. Yosef atzad. Truth is, you know who embodied this even more than Yosef atzad? Yosef atzadik? Menashe and Ephraim. Because Yosef atzadik excelled in Golos and was matzliach in Golos. And he's who we want to be, each and every one of us. But at least he started his life for the first 17 years by his tata, by Yaakov Avinu. For the first 17 years, he sat and learned Torah with Yaakov Avinu. That's a strong foundation. You know, every one of us in this room has had Rabbeim, and we've had an upbringing in our Mashbiyim, in our Mechanchim. We didn't have a Yaakov Avinu. So Yosef had to get that. Menashe and Ephraim, and he grew up in Eretz Yisrael. You know who even had it more difficult? Like you and I more than, right? Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe and Ephraim were born in Galus. Menashe and Ephraim were born in Galus. But they born in Galus become what? Elevated like the Shvatim. Mamish elevated to a level like Shvatim. What do we see a few psukim earlier than the psukim we questioned? What does Yaakov Yina say? Now your two children. They were born in Mitzrayim before I came. And he's emphasizing that. Why do you have to emphasize that? Everybody knows that. Where else were they born? Why does the Torah have to emphasize that? At Boi Lecha Mitzrayim, Lihim, Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruvim Shimon Yuli. What's going on here? Why does Menashe and Ephraim have to be like Reuven and Shimon? Yeah, I'm say, I love them. They're my grandchildren. They're amazing. What do you mean, Keruven to Shimon Yili? They're elevated to the state of Shvatim. That's what the Pesukim are saying. By the way, there's a very famous Targum, a very famous Baal Turim here. The Baal Turim here says, if you take Gematria of Ephraim Umenashe, it's Gematria 732, which is Gematria Reuven to Shimon. By the way, B'nai Yisaschar, we have the Helga Einikol of B'nai Yisaschar here. Nainical the Noim Elamelech. He set up the mention. Now you pay attention, right? I love you. Anyways, so we have Bamish is at this table. What a table. We have to have some Achayim tonight, I think. We have at this table an Einikol from the Noim Elamelech and Einikol from Bnei Sascher. You hear this? Am I missing anybody? We all have beautiful Yichas. Okay, we're all Einikol from Yaakov Avinu, but Lamaisa. Incredible. Bnei Sascher says this gematria, by the way, is the makar to as a raya that the koilel is emes, right? We talk gematrias a lot here, and then we have the koilel where you can add one, which everybody questions the koilel. Let's be real, it's a little bit hard, it's a little difficult. Emes, even I do at times.
It's the fun.
I'm speaking to a lot of tzaddikim trying to get clarity on koilel, but that's like amuna and gematria, right? There's gematria and there's amuna. Just like listen, we have amuna kash baruch hu, and what does amuna mean? Amuna mean I don't understand everything, and I'm still makabel. That's amuna. If we understood everything, that's not amuna. That just is. Emuna means I don't understand everything. Emuna means I have no idea why Hashem did what he did last Matzah Shabbos, but I believe he orchestrated it, and that's what he knew what needed to be done for the world. That's Emuna. So lahavdil, and gematria. I have Emuna and koilel, even though I don't fully grasp. I grasp gematria. Whoever said it over, you know, Avram Shor explained to me once the most beautiful depth in gematria, just to understand for chevra that maybe we didn't go through this before. Gematria is so beautiful, but why does it work like it does? You see, in English, in America, you have your number system and you have your letter system. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. Right? But A is not 1, and C is not 3. Those are two different systems. In Lashon HaKodesh, the symbols for the letters and the symbols for the numbers are the same. Aleph, Beis, Gimel is also the symbols for 1, 2, 3. There is nothing else. As, yes, in modern day Israel, they borrowed the American system and they have 1, 2, 3. But in reality, in Lashon HaKodesh, Aleph is Aleph and Aleph is 1. Beis is Beis and Beis is 2. B is not 2. B is B. 2 is 2. So when you see a word in the Torah, you see a Hebrew word, just like you can make textual diukim, you could see it as its letters, but you could also see it as its numerical value and make numerical comparisons. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. And that's the depth in Torah. Now, koilel, this addition one that you're allowed to, and add to only once, and it's hard to fully grasp, but it's emes, and all the tzaddikim say it, and we have to be makavel. But the Bnei Sascher says that we could learn it, the makor is this famous gematria, Ephraim and Menashe is gematria Reuven v'Shimon, because in reality, it's Ephraim and Menashe is 732, Reuven v'Shimon is only 731. But you have to add one. And the Shvila Pinchas once explained it to me. Here we're saying Reuven and Shimon are one with Ephraim and Menashe in a certain sense. Lemaisa, that's one of the sources of Koilo right here. But why was it necessary to elevate Menashe and Ephraim to be like the Shvatim? The Shvatim is our spiritual makeup. We can't have Kedusha and Klal Yisrael without the Shvatim. It's our mamish, the foundation of our Kedusha, or the Shiftei Ka. But Yaakovino understood that there's going to be a time where you and I are born in Cedars and Woodmere and Queens and Brooklyn and Miami and LA and Toronto. And there's going to be generations like this. and there's going to be a Holocaust, and there's going to be a Spanish Inquisition, and there's going to be a Meron, and there's going to be a Liel Namdar, and there's going to be Gullus, and born in Gullus. So what do we look back to? What's going to be the chizik, the strength, that we had a Menashe and Ephraim who were born in Mitzrayim and were elevated to Shiftei Kah? You have a Yosef and Tzadik who did it, but you have his children who even to a further degree. And that's our chizik. That's our spiritual makeup. Happens to be, by the way, if you take came to me in the schus of our shir, you know, what's the biggest struggle of Gullus Rigus? It's finding shalom, finding peace. What do I mean by finding peace? Let me explain. Because we're all pulled. In the Gullus that we're in, we're all pulled. See, Baruch Hashem, for the most part, we're not in a Gullus of... Of course, there is some, but for the most part, you and I have not been involved in anti-Semitism, and we're not afraid to walk the streets as far as... Even though there was a tragedy today in Eretz Yisrael as well, and... There is definitely some, and we have to daven, and it's terrible in the Shomron today. There's a young father who was murdered because he's a Yid. Shem Yinkom Damam. For the most part, you and I, where we live, that's not the case. We could say it as it is. But there's a spiritual gullus, and there's a gullus of living in the culture of America that is very real. And what does that create? That creates a lack of shalom within us, a lack of peace, because we're pulled in so many directions, and we forget what emes is. So I need Yosef, Ephraim, and Menashe. Those are the koyach of those who are matzliach in gullus. If you take a match of Yosef, Ephraim, and Menashe, Ephraim, and Menashe, we just said is 732. But add Yosef. What's Yosef? Yosef? Yosef is a famous gematria, 156. Gematria Tzion, Gematria Melech Yavon, Gematria Antiochus, right? A lot of Gematrias, Yosef. 156 plus 732 is 888. Nobody's going into accounting or anything over here? Okay, good, it's boring. But anyways, Lameisa. There's no knock on any accountant. You can be very Atzliach, and if you enjoy it, great. I don't know, for most people. But anyways, Lameisa. 888. 888 came to me a gift. Matana min Hashemayim is exactly gematria. Yiye chaye shalom tamid. Yiye chaye shalom tamid. You'll have a life of peace. Because the lacking of peace is being pulled in all the directions of Golas. If I embody Yosef Menashe and Ephraim, Yosef Ephraim Menashe is gematria. Yiye chaye shalom tamid. So Rav Shor takes it one step further. Listen closely now, we can understand. Yosef HaTzadik, Menashe and Ephraim, they were all the foundation of our makeup of those who are Matzliach and Gullus that we need and we want to be. Yaakov Avinu was about to bench Menashe and Ephraim and give a bracha. And that bracha was a bracha for each and every one of us. A bracha for the history of the Jewish nation. A bracha for those representing those who are Matzliach in Gaulus, and that it should continue for all generations to Zaycha to be as Mashiach with the Gula Shleim, Bez Hashem, Bekarav B'Yameinu. Hashem wanted that Yaakov should see Yeravam and Achav and Yeho and these Bersham. Why? Why do you want them to and to have a thought to what he should do with that? And still then go on bench. As if to say, you know what? They're also going to be those Yidden that fall in Gullus. There's also going to be Yidden that have Nephilos. There's also going to be our brothers and sisters that don't stay strong. Gullus is difficult. Every one of us in this room have family members, have friends, have people we know that are not Matzliach, are not Ani Yosef. Are not keeping Torah mitzvahs the way that Abishter wants us to. And therefore are not as besimcha as they should be. And are not learning Torah at midnight on Erev Shabbos Kodesh. And are not getting up to go to Minyan early in the morning. And not going to the mikveh tomorrow. And are not even keeping Shabbos Kodesh. And are on their phones on Shabbos and driving on Shabbos. Not even appreciating the most Kodesh day in the week, the most Kodesh day in the year. Where would we be without Shabbos? How sad is it? We're sad for some people, right? Because sometimes you don't have Mamish. Last Friday night, I was sitting with my wife and the kids at the Suda. And I had my son, the Chassan and Kala, for the first Lel Shabbos at the Suda. And It was the most beautiful thing of all time. It was so amazing, just spending with the family and the singing and the Torah and the discussions and just Shabbos, you know, Shabbos. And I turned to my wife, it's a shindy at one point, I was like, can you imagine your work, you know, she works in a public school. I was like, your work friends and those are, they're nice people, they don't have Shabbos. How sad is that? Like, they don't have, is there anything more precious? Like, it's worth billions of dollars to be able to disconnect from the crazy world we live in, to be able to disconnect from the sheker of the world, just have family time without a phone and have Hashem time and yourself time. And like, Shabbos is the most beautiful, most precious thing in the world. It is top one, I think. I don't think there's anything more important in this world. More, I mean, Torah, we need to learn Torah. I don't know where we'd be without learning Torah. Tefillah. Okay, I don't know. Okay, but you get it. But like, but where would we be without Shabbos? It's like, and there are those that are not keeping Shabbos. And that's, how sad is that? How sad is that? There are those that have fallen into gullus. But Yaakov Avinu is going to bench Menashe and Ephraim. And Hashem wants that part of that benching should be to Yeravam and Achav and all the Jews until 2022 that's coming up that have fallen and they're not living up to that. They're going to be benched by Yaakov also. You know what? What that bracha did? It builds within them that chemical makeup that guess what? Deep inside they have that neshama. And deep inside they have that bracha. And they still can come back. And they still could taste. And we can't give up on them. And we love them the same way. And they're our brothers and they're our sisters. And even that part within us that sometimes fall, it's the same. We get that same bracha. That part within us. Nobody's perfect. Ain't tzaddik bar shel yachta. Can't each and every one of us here talk about days that we didn't live up to who we're supposed to be? We didn't daven the way we're supposed to daven. We didn't learn the way we're supposed to learn. We didn't have shmir sanayim the way we're supposed to have shmir sanayim. Every one of us have our moments. We get the bracha of Yaakov as well. That bracha, Rav Shor explains, to those even Rishon, was so that every one of us is blessed in every moment, even in the Nefilos of Golus. Halavai, we should be a Yosef. Halavai, we should be a Menashe and Ephraim. Halavai, we should be a Matzliach, and we have that in us to be. But when we don't, we still have the bracha of Yaakov Avinu. The Rav Gedalia Shor, Shor's father, he explained that's why Yaakov, when he got the brachas from Yitzchak, had to dress in the clothing of Esav. So Esav was a chelik in the bracha as well, in a way. To say, even the Esav that happens to us at times. Same Yisod. Beautiful. So a close friend of mine, he sent me on WhatsApp a video to watch this week. And I haven't stopped thinking about it. It was about 10, 11 minutes long. It was at a Daf Yomi Siyum Masechtas Tainus. Special. I don't want to give too many details so people listening should know exactly what I'm talking about, but I got Rishus to tell over the story without the names. It was a Daf Yomi Siyum of a very special Daf Yomi Shir. It's been mechazik many, many people. And the son of his, in his young 20s, the son spoke. I got more of the details later from this friend of mine. Yedid Nafshi, who I love very dearly, who told me, he spoke so beautifully, this son. And he spoke about just joining Daf Yomi for the first time at the beginning of Tainus. And how much he loves it, and how much he's a part of it, and how excited he was to make the CM, and how he's going to continue. And how prior to this he wasn't even putting on tefillin. And how because of this and someone else that was involved in Daf Yomi, he started putting on tefillin. And he put on tefillin. And he wakes up 6:30 in the morning to come to Daf Yomi every single day and finish Masechtas Tainus. And I saw this video and I'm blown away. And I left a message for my friend. I said, if Daf Yomi was created literally just for you and your family, and he has another son that's also learning Daf Yomi, in the same together, as two sons with him learning Daf Yomi. The other son also was not doing so well religiously before. And both of his father and his father-in-law are learning Daf Yomi now. Like all of them. It's crazy. I was changing the world. And I was so blown away from the speech. And then my friend leaves me a message, which I had no idea. that the son of his, not only was he not turned on to Yiddishkeit and not putting on tefillin and not tattoos, earrings. And again, we know the physical exterior is not what anything's about, but just the symbolism of where he fell from a from family, from one of he fell to a place we can't imagine. He was working every day in a store, but Lemaisa, empty. And he encouraged his son, he offered his son $1,000 to come join Daf Yomi for one Masechta, for just Tainus. And what happened was, his son didn't even take him up on that right away. Another supporter of the Daf Yomi found out about this somehow, and said he'll double it if the son comes. And still the son was not so quick to come, and even that first day wasn't going to come, but he ended up coming and joining. And the rest is history. He's been learning every single day, and you should hear his speech, Mamash, blow away. And when my friend introduced him at the Siyam, and there, I saw in the audience in the Daf Yomi Shir, they're very special people, the one who gives the Daf Yomi and others. He said, I want to introduce the biggest tzaddik in this room, and introduce his son. It was so beautiful. It was the most beautiful thing in the world. We'll get back to that in a moment. We'll get back to that in a moment, how he said that. Because I think that's a big key to this whole story. But this son's coming back. And this son's in love with Torah, and in love with Hashem through Torah. You know where that comes from? You know where the depth of that comes from? Because Yaakov Avinu gave this bracha. And Yaakov Avinu gave bracha to Menashe and to Ephraim. And he said that every single Jew has Kedusha in him. As they're singing these days, every Jew is a big tzaddik. What does it mean? Every Jew big tzaddik? Is every Jew doing big things? Yeah, it's within us. And you know where it's within us? From this bracha. From this bracha. And we have to embody Menashe and Ephraim and Yosef and know that we have it in us to be matzliach and to be above and to be successful even in galus like a Yosef Tzadik, to learn and to daven and to have Yer Shemayim and to have Shemir Sinayim. We could do it all. And we have to believe in ourselves and know that we have it in us. And that, now we understand something else. And then we'll explain how my friend introduced his son. If you look in the Psukim, right after, Yaakov Avinu says, Mi Ela, who are these people that have this shmek of Rishon, that smell like Rishon? What does Yosef say back? We asked, what is this answer? He says, these are the ones Asher Nosen Li Elokim Bezeh. These are the ones that Hashem gave me. By the way, Rashi, Targum Unkelos translates it, that Hashem gave, the Yahadli Hashem Hocha. These are the ones Hashem gave me here. Meaning, you know what Yosef was saying back to his father? He was saying, these are the ones that grew up in Mitzrayim and that are being Matzliach. So what does Yaakov Avinu do? The very next pasuk. Vayagesho samei lov. Yosef brings them. Vayagesho samei lov. I'm sorry. Yaakov brings them close to him. Vayishak lahem vayichabik lem. He kisses and hugs them. He kisses and hugs them. And then it goes a couple of seconds later, but Yotze Yosef Osama im Barachov, Yosef takes them off his knees, by Shtach Lapavarta, and he bows down to the ground. And Rashi there says, La'acher Shinashakam, after they're kissed, then they're ready for their brachos. And he sets them up for the brachos. What's this emphasis on kissing and hugging? Where do you find such kissing and hugging? So much kissing and hugging going on over here. And there seems from Rashi like an emphasis how important this kissing and hugging was as a prerequisite to the brachos. Because these brachos represented brachos that were going to keep us strong through our galus, even when we fall, even when we don't live up to who we're supposed to be. You know what Yaakov is teaching us? You know what you do to those who might not be living up to who they should be? You don't throw them out. You don't throw them out. And you don't look down upon them. You give them a big hug and a big kiss and say, I love you. And Hashem loves you. And the power of that is tremendous. The power of that is tremendous. And they'll come back. had somebody this week telling me about a family member. I don't want to give too many details of this. I'm not giving so many details in my stories these days, but you know, people, you don't Chas v'shalom, you should bring busha to anybody. But a Talmud of mine was telling me about a family member, an older family member, older than myself, who's completely not religious today. Not keeping Torah, not keeping Shabbos, nothing. He's in a world, people would think, he walks around with a yarmulke and he has friends who are from, sends his kids to yeshivas, but not from. He's on his phone on Shabbos, doesn't ever go to shul, nothing. And why? Because he grew up in a world that was extreme, and it wasn't really for him so much. So he didn't live up to that. And at a very young age, I think he was 12 or 13, his parents threw him out of the house. So what was his reaction? Enough with this. This is not for me. Until today, he walked away and he's not religious. Maybe if his parents would have given him a hug and a kiss, he would have remembered the bracha from Yaakov Avinu. Maybe. I'll tell you something. Again, I don't know all the years and what my friends went through with his son, but I know my friends well enough. I know that all he did was still show love to the son. And if you heard, and you heard in this, at this siyum, how he introduced his son, and he refers to his son as the biggest tzaddik in the room. There's no bigger ahava, no bigger love. And that's what brings people back, feeling that connection. I think that's the biggest key to any machanech, to any rebbe. I think it's the biggest key to any parent. You want to know how to go, you want a parenting class? Just love your children. And show them love. So, and show them more and more and more love. It doesn't mean, by the way, that doesn't mean there aren't ramifications to actions. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, hold responsible children at times. But they should always know it's all love. And you should always show them the love. And as a Rebbe, every Rebbe should only show love to his Talmidim. Always. And all that will happen will, it will open us up to all these brachas. And remind us that we're Yosef HaTzadik, Ani Yosef. I'm Menashe, I'm Ephraim, I got it. I could be Matzliach here. Who was the one that we know for that unfortunately passed away recently who embodied this? So even if you didn't know him, I'm sure you've heard about or learned about. And if you haven't read the book, it's kedai to read the book. Rav David Trenk, Zecher Tzadik HaShivracha. David Trenk was a Rebbe. The title of the book is Just Love Them. If you didn't read this book yet, it's a must read as a parent. So B'shat Taiva, when all of you are Soichet to be in that stage, you have to read this book before. There might not be a better parenting book. Just love him. And there's a famous story in there. You probably have heard the story. It went around a lot when he passed away, but just to repeat. Crazy story. And Rav David Trenk, you've all seen pictures, right? You know, he was this like big, larger than life individual with a big beard, massive pace flying down, and it's Friday night, Leil Shabbos Kodesh. And he finds out that a bachur in the yeshiva stole his car on Shabbos and drove it to go watch a movie in the local movie theater. He's menahel. What does he do? What does Rabbi Trenk do? Rabbi Trenk zeches tzadik hashivracha. You know what Rabbi Trenk did, Chavra? Rabbi Trenk put on his hat and jacket and started walking to the movie theater. It was about a half hour away by walk, by foot. And he walks to the movie theater. Friday night, imagine the scene, Shabbos Kodesh. And he goes to the chvesnish, the person who sells the tickets in the front, whatever it is. Just listen, I'm not going into the movie to watch the movie. I have a student in there, I need to tell him something. Could I just go in to tell him I'll be right back out? And they let him. Can't imagine the scene. You see this Rav walking into a movie theater on Leil Shabbos on Friday night. I remember a few years ago, how old is Uriel Nassen Tzvi? Uriel Nassen Tzvi is 7 years old. He's going to be 8 this Pesach. So 7.5 years ago. My wife was pregnant with Uriel, and as the Chever knows, we can't, not the time to go through all the stories, but all of our pregnancies were very intense, with high risk, and because of a blood incompatibility, and my wife had to have many blood transfusions throughout the pregnancies. So we were being monitored very seriously. And the doctor told us, because of the blood levels, that we had to come into the hospital second day Pesach. Second day of Pesach, 7.5 years ago. So second day, Baruch Hashem, is a little bit easier as far as halacha is. Mid Rabbanon. I spoke to my Rebbe, Rebbe Neuberger, and what to do, whatever it was. So we had, actually, our housekeeper, our babysitter at the time, was easier that way. She drove us to the hospital and waited to drive us back. We were able to come back because my kids were here. And I'm not going to get into all the halachic discussions right now. But, so we go to the hospital. It's Yontif. So I'm going with my wife to the hospital. It could be, again, they could have been deciding if they're going to induce her on the spot, depending on what they saw. Ended up, they send us home and told us we have to come back the next day, and the next day is when she gave birth, actually. So I go into the hospital, but it's Yontif. So I go in with my bakasha, this was before the scramble days, but I didn't bring a hat. I just went in with the bakasha. I said, big day, I'm gone. I said, Shani, I'm coming in with big day Yontif. It's not like, I'm coming, but big day Yontif. And you know my Yontif bakashas, they're like, you know. Yeah, they're colorful and different. And Haley, we got to work on you on that. Mirtz Shem, we'll get there. Kavod Yontif, you're not there. We have to go back before Yontif. Anyways, no, the halacha is, it's halacha that you're supposed to have nicer, you're supposed to have nicer clothing for Yontif than Shabbos. That's halacha. So all of you that wear the same suits on Yontif and Shabbos, it's not, you should have, if you, you don't, I'm not telling you have to get a back show, but then you should have a special suit for Yontif. You should have a special, or special ties at least, something different that should be for Yontif. You're supposed to have nicer clothing for Yontif than, just think about this, nice shoes, something. You should have Yontif that's something nicer than Shabbos. That's halacha. So I have special bakishas for Yontif. So fine, we go into the hospital and she's monitored and they told us we could go home. We're coming home. And of course, when are we coming home? We're coming home and we're driving. We come down. I was by my parents for Yontif. My parents they sold their house now, but they used to live on White Drive. Okay? Right up the block from your uncle and aunt. In the cul-de-sac on White Drive. The Chevron knows White Drive, on Cedar Lane, in the circle. So we come down. The babysitter drives down Rockaway Turnpike and makes a left on Broadway. Right, there's a derech. But when you make a left on Broadway from Rockaway Turnpike, where are you going to pass? You're going to pass Beis Shalom. You're going to pass Yom Yidlar and Cedars. Of course, when are we coming back? Mamish as every shul is letting out. Second day Yontif. I mean, like, no. Every shul. And I start, I'm in this car in a bekisha. Like, I'm a Rebbe, you know, like, driving down. By the way, it was this babysitter. She had, like, this massive cross on the back of the car. Also a very religious woman, whatever. But anyways, I'm sitting in this car. And like, I'm looking at all these talmidim of mine, friends, letting out of shul. And I'm like, mamish. It was like, I'm ducking down. Like, I'm like, Shady, you could be in the car. I'm out of here. I'm like, underneath the seat, literally. So I still, to this day, I don't think anyone, Taka saw me. No one ever said anything. But it was like a crazy moment in life. Like, what's going on? Anyways. Lamaisa, can you imagine back to Rabbi David Trank? Walking into this movie theater, Lel Shabbos Kodesh. And he walks into the movie theater. And he sees this Talmud sitting watching the movie. And he sits, he just goes and he sees the seat next to him is open. And he just sits down next to him. Who stole his car also, right? Remember this. It's not just he's on at a movie on Friday night. It's not just a Talmud. He stole Rabbi Trank's car to go to the movie. He stole Rabbi Trank's car to go to the movie. He sits down next to him. He turns to the Talmud. And he says to him, I just thought you'd like to know. I'm pretty sure the popcorn here is not kosher. And he gets up to walk away. That was it. And the Talmud gets up and grabs his Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I'm coming with you. And I'm never again breaking Shabbos. That was it. What did Rabbi Trank say to that Talmud? He didn't yell at him. He didn't scream at him. You know, it wasn't the Rav Weinberger Litvish joke, I told you so. It wasn't none of that. You know what he said? You know what Rabbi Trank said to that Talmud? You know what he said? He didn't talk about popcorn. He didn't talk about kashrus. He looked at him And he said, I just want you to know, I love you. That's what he said. He said, he looked at him and he said, I just want you to know I love you. And that's what he really said. And that's what the Talmud heard. The Talmud heard, I love you. The Talmud heard, I care about you. The Talmud heard, I'm here by your side. And you know how that Talmud reacted? When he got the hug, the chibuk, the nishuk, when he got the hug and kiss, he remembered the brach of Yaakov Avinu. He remembered the brach of Yaakov Avinu. And that's, I believe, what my friend's son felt as well. My friend's son, with his earrings and his tattoos, why'd he come to Daf Yomi? You think he really went to Daf Yomi for $2,000? You think he really went to Daf Yomi for $2,000? Let's be real. He went to Daf Yomi. Even, do it out. I don't know. Is that even good money when you go through all the hours, waking up so early and the shiur, it's not even great money per hour. You think it was really about the money? He felt the hug and kiss of his father. And when he felt the hug and kiss of his father, how could he not remember the bracha that we have all from Yaakov Avinu and who we really are? And how we could be matzliach in Golas ani Yosef. Now the goal is not to fall and come back. And that's another Torah that I saw. You know, we all know this famous storyline. We all know. We all know that Yosef sets up his children with Menashe on the right side and Ephraim on the left side. And we all learned this when we were like in nursery. And Yaakov Avinu switches his hands, puts his right hand over Ephraim, his left hand over Menashe. We have to understand. Forget about all the Pashup Shatim for now. If you really, first of all, what was going on here? What was the machlokas between Yosef and Yaakov? And second of all, if he really wanted to put Menashe on the right, Ephraim on the right side, so why did he just switch them around? Why do you have to switch his hands? So Rav Shor explains something very beautiful here. Rav Shor explains, what does Menashe represent and what does Ephraim represent? So if you look in Parshas Miketz, Menashe is called Menashe, ki neshani elokim es kol amali ves kol beis avi. Hashem made me forget all my pain and suffering, forget my father's home. And what was that meaning according to Rav Shor? What did that mean? What was Yosef HaTzadik saying? Yosef HaTzadik was saying, I went through pain, I went through suffering, I was thrown in a pit, I was a slave. I've gone through all that, Nashani. I've forgotten my father's home. I've had suffering, but I've still been Matzliach, Menashe. I'm in Menashe. And the second son is Ephraim. Ki Ephrani Elkim Bertani. I've been in this place in Golos, and I've been Matzliach. I'm second in command. I've made it. I've been on top of the world. I've been above it all. And to Yosef HaTzadik, what's more important? To Yosef HaTzadik, he was more proud of his ability to be in the worst of places and having crazy times where there should have been the Philos and pull himself out of there. Menashe. That's what that represents. So Yosef says, that's on the right side. Yaakov says, wait a minute. That's beautiful and wonderful. But to me, that's Bidiyavet. I want you to be above it all. I want you to be able to be Ephrani. I want you to be a tzaddik who doesn't ever even fall. So I'm going to put my right hand on Ephraim, on the tzaddikim that are above even the nisyonos. But you know what? At the same time, he keeps Menashe on the right side. Because as Rav Shor explains, even Yaakov says, thus is also very chashuv. And if you can't be above it and you have nefilas, sheva yipal tzaddik v'kam, you're also a tzaddik. Just get back up. And we have to remember that. And we have to remember Ani Yosef. And that's our avodah. Our avodah is to recognize each and every one of us, we're in Golos. But being in Golos doesn't mean I can't be Matzliach. Being in Golos doesn't mean I can't be Yosef Tzadik, a Menashe, and Ephraim. Being in Golos means that I first and try, my goal is to be above it. To be a Tzadik. But even if I fall, I realize have the koyach within me to get back up. And it means as well, when I see my friends and family members that are falling, al tisyayish. You know what I do? I don't know what to do. I'm not a Rebbe. I don't know how to inspire them. I don't know what to do for them. So you know what you do? You love them. And you love them more. And you give them a hug. And you give them a kiss. And you're never misyayish. And you stay close. And that closeness and that love will open up their heart. That closeness and that love will bring them back. That closeness and that love will say to them, I'm not sure if the popcorn's kosher. And they'll come back. In the right time, whenever that is. Don't stop loving. But you know what? The same is true for yourself. Don't stop loving yourself. If the key to bring them back that they have within them from the Brach of Yaakov is that Chibuk V'Nishuk, we have to feel the same of ourselves. If we fall, if we don't live up to who we're supposed to be in our davening, in our learning, in our Shemir Sinai, in anything else, you know what we should do for ourselves? Don't lower our self-esteem. Don't think of ourselves. Think of us, love ourselves. Show love to ourselves. And believe in ourselves. And say, Ani Yosef. Ani Yosef Tzadik. Ani Yosef Tzadik. Am Yosim Chalikim Kefrayim Echvinashe. I have that bracha. And we'll be Hatzliach in Galus. Until we're Zoycha. Just like those Jews that had to go into Galus. Those Jews that had to go to Galus, starting with Yosef Tzadik and Menashe and Ephraim, they went into Galus for a long time. We've been much longer. But they got out. And they had a Gula. And they got the Torah. And they went into Eretz Yisrael. And they had a Beis HaMikdash. We're going to be the same. We're going to be together. We're going to be tanting with Liel and tanting with the 45 Kedoshim. And tanting with ourselves, with our own personal Gula. With the Gula Shleim, Mashiach Zakenu, B'mehar B'Yemeinu. Amen.